live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council says its severe weather assessment team has been meeting in response to Storm Lorenzo and will continue to monitor local conditions closely. Balcarra Community Hospital has come in for criticism from the health watchdog. The Taoiseach has confirmed his commitment to the A5 this week. The International Council for Exploration of the Sea has recommended a 19.7% increase in mackerel quota for 2020, and work is said to be progressing in eliminating the overwhelming odour emanating from Angrenan Estate in Birch. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Boris Johnson has told the EU the backstop is a bridge to nowhere as he outlined his plans to replace it. The British Prime Minister has sent his plans to the European Commission, saying it would be a failure to statecraft if they can't reach a deal. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe has been examining what the plans mean.
Under Boris Johnson's plan, Northern Ireland would keep some EU rules on agriculture, food and goods, but it would mean leaving the customs union with the rest of the UK, and that means customs checks between north and south. Johnson says most of that can be done electronically and that only a small number of physical checks would be needed. He proposes doing that at traders' premises or other points in the supply chain, which sounds like the customs centres the EU wants to avoid. Johnson's got the DUP on board by promising the Stormont executive would get to approve this arrangement next year and then vote on whether to keep it or align more closely with the rest of the UK every 4 years. He also spoke of a new deal for Northern Ireland, which suggests a big cash investment. A lot of the detail on the border question is woolly and unlikely to be accepted outright. It's probably not either the UK's final position. Officials there hope it can be a starting point for serious negotiations in the next 2 weeks. And Johnson said it provides a broad landing zone for a deal. But the Taoiseach was briefed on this yesterday morning by Johnson's officials and has suggested it won't fly. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Crisis management teams across the country have begun at clearing drains, gullies and preparing sandbags in advance of the arrival of Hurricane Lorenzo. It's expected to be downgraded to storm force before making landfall on the west coast around midday tomorrow. The National Emergency Coordination Group is warning Lorenzo will be a national event, which is likely to lead to power outages, flooding and fallen trees. Gusts of over 130 kilometres an hour in coastal areas are forecast, with Met Éireann issuing a status orange wind warning for Galway, Mayo, Clare, Cork, Kerry and Limerick. A status yellow wind and rain warning is in place nationwide between tomorrow morning and Friday morning. Minister for Housing, Planning and Local Government, Owen Murphy, says people everywhere should prepare.
The wind and rain across the country will have unpredictable impacts in terms of flooding being likely, power outages being likely and also thunderstorms. In coastal areas and exposed piers in the orange areas, we're asking people to stay back, to stay high and to stay dry. There may be power outages in parts of the country, so we're asking people to check with their neighbours and the elderly if they can today to make sure that they have things like batteries in their torches, phone chargers in their cars and their air coat to hand as well in case of an emergency.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council's severe weather assessment team has been meeting and says it will continue to monitor local conditions closely as Storm Lorenzo progresses. Motorists are being advised to take extra care on the roads and to be vigilant with regards to fallen trees and debris. Director of Economic Development and Emergency Services at Donegal County Council, Gary Martin, says while the county looks set to escape the worst, people need to remain cautious.
At the moment, it seems to suggest that we may escape the very, very worst of it, but that still to exercise caution during that time period. We have areas, low-lying areas and exposed areas of our coastline that are subject to coastal flooding from time to time. When you say all of those different components come together, low barometric pressure, onshore winds from a particular direction, high rainfall, which are swelling the river as well. Now, at the moment, we've had, I suppose, high spring tides earlier in the week. They're starting now to recede, so there should be some capacity in the context of of onshore ones. At the moment, the predictive ones tend to be coming more from the southeast for the majority of this time period, as opposed to from the southwest, which would have been, I suppose, the main risk areas, particularly along our western coast. But we'll be reviewing that, I suppose, as we go forward, and as we get a more definite indication of the wind patterns, we'll be able to give advice on specific issues that may be arising in particular areas. And we'll be working with our own local staff and indeed with any of the other response agencies if need be for those areas in the event of something that predicted to arise.
Issues of major non-compliance have been found at Fulcara Community Hospital. The health watchdog Hickwick carried out an inspection at the hospital in July and discovered some actions required from the previous inspection were not satisfactorily implemented. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The inspector found that the design and layout of the centre was not suitable for its stated purpose and didn't meet the needs of the residents living with dementia in a number of areas, including the size and layout of the multi-occupancy bedrooms and the current condition of the palliative care suite. These were outstanding actions from previous inspections. In addition, the inspectors observed that at lunchtime the dining room was shared with persons attending the day centre, which adjoins the designated centre, which in turn created a noisy and crowded environment for residents. In its response, the centre is scheduled to undergo a programme of refurbishment works beginning in May of next year and due for completion in September of 2021 to ensure regulatory compliance. The layout of the centre and multi-occupancy rooms will be addressed during the building works. Staff have also been educated about promoting an environment which is conducive to creating a quiet and enjoyable dining experience for all residents.
The Taoiseach has confirmed his commitment to the A5. Earlier this year, €27 million when funding from the Irish government earmarked for the project was pulled, with Leo Varadkar blaming the political impasse in the north for his decision. The project is jointly funded by the British and Irish governments and work is expected to begin before the end of this year. This week in the Dáil, the Taoiseach said the project is stuck and once progress is made, funding will be made available.
Absolutely committed to the project, one I strongly support, not just linking Derry to Dublin and the rest of the country, really important for Donegal too. So the money will be there when it starts, but it's stuck in a Northern Ireland process at the moment. But once it's there, it'll start.
The International Council for Exploration of the Sea has recommended a 19.7% increase in mackerel quota for 2020. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher has welcomed the announcement following advice in May which suggested a 20% increase in the total allowable catch for 2019. Deputy Gallagher says as the recommendation in May was not passed, the quota for next year should increase by around 40%. He says it is vitally important that the sector receives the benefits next year in the face of Brexit.
This is a welcome development. In fact, it doesn't surprise me because I do know from my contacts in Europe that the stocks of mackerel are very healthy. And in fact, last year when we had a quota of 55,000 tonnes, I challenged the scientific advice of the Irish Council for the Exploration of the Sea. And in May of last year, we were told that the quota could have been higher. And of course, it didn't increase it in May. However, now that it has been increased by 20%, our claim is that we're due 40%, 20% for last year and 20% for this year, which will bring our quota up to 77,500. And this is quite substantial. On average, at a landing cost of 1,000, worth about 22 million. However, I have to enter a caveat that if there's a no-deal Brexit, we could have a problem, as Boris Johnson said, that the waters off the UK would be closed to EU vessels, and 60% of our mackerel are cut off that coast. But let's be positive and hope for an extension of Brexit or that there would be a deal.
It's now vital that this 40% increase is implemented.
Oh, absolutely. And this will be finalised at the Council of Ministers meeting in December, and I would expect that that will be our share of the overall total allowable catch, but again, all subject to Brexit.
It's estimated that around 160 wheelie bins of untreated sewage is being discharged into Rutland Sound, Burtonport each day. Irish Water has submitted a planning application to Donegal County Council with a view towards building a new sewage scheme, including a wastewater treatment plant for the area. Laura Donnelly reports.
The new plant would treat effluent from homes and businesses in the area and return the treated water safely to the environment. Subject to statutory approvals, Irish Water expects to commence construction in 2020 and the works will take approximately 14 months to complete. The benefits the new wastewater treatment plant will bring to Burton Port include improved water quality in the receiving waters, enhanced local amenities and a platform for social and economic development. The new infrastructure has also been sized to facilitate future population growth. The proposed scheme will include the provision of a new sewer to connect the existing sewer network to a new wastewater pumping station. It will also include the construction of a new wastewater pumping station and a new wastewater treatment plant, which will serve a population equivalent of approximately 300 people.
Work is said to be progressing in eliminating the overwhelming odour emanating from Angrillan Estate in Birt. It's understood that various trials are currently being carried out with a view towards reducing the odour-causing constituents such as ammonia from the digestate. There was a major public outcry during the summer over the smell which came from the spreading of the digestate at the farm. Local councillor Paul Canning says the company are doing their best to address the issue and is hopeful that it will be resolved.
It's not doing any damage to the field, and if you see fields that have the digestate spread on them, they actually are greener after a while, you know, so it obviously is working for the soil, but it's just the smell, that strong ammonia smell that's there. Now, in fairness, as I said, the company up in Balbuffet, they are working with the group that was set up down in Burt, so hopefully things will keep progressing.
The European Commission is investing €530 million to link Ireland with Europe's energy grid after Brexit. At the moment, the Celtic interconnector is linked to the UK. Once built, Ireland will have a direct electricity connection from mainland Europe. Communications Minister Richard Burton says this project will make our electricity system greener, more secure, and prices will be cheaper.
From the perspective of renewable producers, it ensures that there will be better outlets for their product because they aren't just confined to the limited islands economy, if you like. They can also sell renewables onward into the European grid.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with boxing. Andy Lee has confirmed his training. Jason Quigley, as the Donegal native, prepares for his comeback fight. Quigley surrendered his NABF middleweight title to Terenio Johnston in California back in July. El Animal is due to return to the ring in December in LA. And Lee is impressed with what he's seen so far of Quigley.
We've been training for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's coming back from a bad loss. He's got to rebuild and find that hunger again and find that fire, which I believe is there. But he's fighting December 6th, I believe it is, in California, and I'm going to train him for that fight. What he's showing me in the gym is that he's working hard, and even within a small few weeks, just small adjustments are making a huge difference. So he's very teachable. But he has to come down a bit of weight too. He's actually heavier than he probably should be at the moment. So he has to come down. And then we'll just judge him after about 3 or 4 weeks of training consistently, where his weight is.
That's Andy Lee speaking to Phil Egan on Off the Ball earlier this week. Staying with boxing, and Derryman Tyrone McCullough returns to the ring on Friday night in England, where he starts his journey to try and secure a deal with MTK Promotions. He'll step up to featherweight to fight Mexican Carlos Arroyo at York Hall in the Golden Contract Tournament as 8 fighters battle for a 2-year, 5-fight deal with MTK. So far, McCullough is undefeated in 13 super bantamweight bouts, and he believes he's the best fighter in the competition.
I wouldn't have entered if I didn't think I was going to win it, you know, and Friday night's the start of it, so I'm just chomping at the bit now. Look, if you just look at Carlos's record, it's... I think 15 ones with 12 knockouts, so he's obviously dangerous, and there's not much footage of him, so I plan to make it a very awkward night on Friday, so I do. He says I've never been on with a real Mexican, but he's never been on with a real pad either, so he'll enjoy it, so he will.
Moving on to soccer, defending champions Liverpool are hoping to pick up their first points of this season's competition when they play host to Salzburg tonight. The other game in the group sees Napoli taking on Ghent. While Chelsea are in France to play Lille in Group H also at 8 o'clock. Kante faces a late fitness test ahead of that tie. A 1-0 defeat against Valencia in their opening match of the competition means Chelsea are pointless in Group H alongside their French opponents. Manager Frank Lampard says that although it's not a must-win, a defeat would leave them with a mountain to climb to progress to the knockout stages.
It's not the be-all and end-all, as in there are four more games after this. We have to see it in the big picture. But as we sit here now with no points from the first game, yeah, it's a game we certainly have to be very ready for to try and pick up something. So, the players will be very aware of that.
In athletics, Ciara McGeehan has qualified for the semi-final of the women's 1500 metres at the World Championships in Doha. The Lisburn athlete was a comfortable fifth in her heat. McGeehan will run for her semi-final tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Irish time. In rugby, wins for France and New Zealand at the World Cup earlier, seeing them take victories against the USA and Canada. Comfortable ones they were too, as the French beat the USA 33-9, running on 5 tries in their bonus point victory. And the All Blacks, well, they scored 9 tries as they ramped to a resounding 63-0 win over Canada in Pool B. The European Tour has confirmed that the 2020 edition of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open will take place from May 28th to 31st. That will come 2 weeks after the PGA Championship and 3 weeks before the third major of the year, the US Open. A venue has yet to be confirmed. And finally, there's a few changes to the sports schedule this week here on Highland. The GAA programme will be broadcast this evening, but now at an earlier time from 7.25. So join Tom Comack later on tonight as he looks ahead to some of the big semi-finals taking place in the Northwest this weekend. Notably, of course, the Intermediate Football Championship and the Junior Football Championship semi-finals will be covered on tonight's show, where he'll be joined by Glenfinn clubman Liam Breen and Buncrana clubman Sean Clerkin. And then on Thursday evening, tomorrow evening, there's a brand new sports programme here in Highland called The Score, where we'll be touching on the Senior Championship semi-finals. Plus, we'll be looking ahead to Fun Harp's big tussle with UCD in the Premier Division this coming a Friday night. So that's The Score on a Thursday night just after the 7 o'clock news through until 8. And the GA programme starting earlier tonight. It's brand new time of 7.25. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, the Gaerloch of the Leverstown Orla Municipal District has proposed Donegal County Council hold a briefing on the rollout of 5G in the county. It's emerged that planning permission is not needed for the installation of a 5G antenna, but is needed for the erection of a mast. Councillor Frank McBurty says there are concerns right across the county, most notably in the Raphoe area, which is home to the largest mast in Donegal. He says the county development plan also needs to be looked at in relation to passing planning permission for masts.
With our county development plan, which is basically adhering to national policy, any of these network companies that put 5G in an area need to erect a mast. The development plan basically opens the door for them to be able to get planning permission. And that's where I have the biggest concern, because we haven't really dealt with the issue of what the health and safety issues are of 5G and 4G and 3G.
Both the Minister for Justice and the Court Service are being urged to fast-track a structural survey of Carndonagh Courthouse. The courthouse has been closed since March due to health and safety concerns, with services now housed in Buncrana. It had been hoped locally that court sittings would be restored to Carndonagh in the interim, with another suitable building identified, but so far this has not happened. Councillor Albert Doherty says the absence of the court is having a knock-on effect on the community and local economy, and the necessary works to the building must be prioritised.
There's always a fear that a lack of prioritising of the work might put it on the long finger, and the people in the business sector in Carndonagh appreciate court day. They appreciate the business, the turnover that they get, whether it's only 11 days in the year, but it's also a rural service servicing constituents and those who use the courts in the northern part of the peninsula. We want it retained in Carndonagh.
And there are calls for a change in the law with regards to the removal of housing tenants engaging in antisocial behaviour. This week's meeting of the Leverstown Orla Municipal District heard of a case in which a long-term tenant requested to be relocated after a new tenant to the area caused disruption, breaking windows and damaging property. Donegal County Council has confirmed that along with other agencies, they are investigating reports received in recent days. Councillor Martin Hardy says the current process means a troublesome tenant cannot be relocated for up to a year. He says it is unacceptable that people are being forced out of their homes as a result of the actions of others.
It's not just one estate that we have. It's all throughout the county. There are just different individuals, and no matter where they move to, they cause trouble. And they seem to get away with it. And the decent people who want to live, come and go and do their work and have live in peace, are not being allowed to do that.
Weather now. Tonight will be dry in most parts. Southeasterly winds will increase overnight, becoming fresh and gusty by morning. Minimum temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Boris Johnson has told the EU the backstop is a bridge to nowhere as he outlined his plans to replace it. The British Prime Minister has sent his plans to the European Commission, saying it would be a failure of statecraft if they can't reach a deal. Donegal County Council Severe Weather Assessment Team has been meeting and says they will continue to monitor local conditions as Storm Lorenzo progresses. Met Éireann has issued a Stannis Yellow Wind Warning for Donegal, effective from tomorrow morning at 9am until 6am on Friday, and a Stannis Yellow Rain Warning will come into effect from tomorrow morning at 9 and remain in place for 24 hours. Issues of major non-compliance have been found at Fulcarra Community Hospital. The health watchdog Hickwick carried out an inspection at the hospital in July and discovered some actions required from the previous inspection were not satisfactorily implemented. And the Taoiseach has confirmed his commitment to the A5. Earlier this year, 27 million euro in funding from the Irish government earmarked for the project was pulled, with Leo Varadkar blaming the political impasse in the north for his decision. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Wednesday evening, October the 2nd. The death has taken place of Mary Elizabeth Porter, known as May Mahara Boy, Killigordon. Family time tonight, wake tomorrow morning from 11 o'clock. Funeral leaving her home on Friday afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock service in Lower Donoghue Church of Ireland, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjacent graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice and Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. Family time from 11pm until 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Edward O'Gara, formerly of Mina Warren, Glen Colum Kill. Remains reposing at Mount Charles Funeral Home, Station Road, tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Removal from Gallagher's Funeral Home in Mount Charles at 6:15 on Friday evening to arrive at St. Columbus Church Carrick at 6:45. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Family flowers only. The death has occurred of Muriel Berry, formerly of Greenan, Loch Esk, Donegal Town. Funeral service in Christchurch, Loch Esk at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, followed by burial in the Glebe Cemetery, Donegal Town. Family flowers only, how strictly private, please. The death has occurred of Sarah McDevitt, née Shields, Clontalla Downings. Remains are reposing at her son Donald's residence, Clontalla Downings. Funeral Mass in St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, house private from after the rosary until 11am. The death has taken place of Aidan Farrell, 4 Newton Street, Strabane. Remains reposing at his daughter Bernadette McCafferty's home, 36 Melmount Road, Strabane, this evening from 6 o'clock. Funeral leaving his daughter's home on Friday morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Mary Rogers O'Donnell, Leap Garrow, Armour Island. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Crone's Church, Armour, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Margaret Caulfield, née Quinn, 28 Towns End Street, Strabane, and formerly of Churchview, Strabane. Remains reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 11:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Parkinson's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11pm until 11am. The death has occurred of Phyllis Wilson, née Lynch, 45 Upper Strabane Road, Castle Derg. Phyllis's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from her late home on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time plays from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Reverend Dr. John Lappin, Shalom, Ballycrampsey, Mallon, County Donegal. Remains reposing at Presbyterian Mallon Church Lag, with visiting until 6 o'clock this evening and tomorrow from 4:30 until 8:30. Funeral service on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjacent burial ground. House private, please. And the death has taken place of Samuel Sam Gibson, 4 Water Terrace, Milltown Convoy. Remains reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Convoy, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the new cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Gibson Funeral Directors.